Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Monday, March 28th, 2022. This is edition number 144 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and we are currently involved in that section of the Catechism in which we're dealing with the sacraments. We have already considered the sacrament of baptism, and now we are dealing with matters related to the Lord's Supper. We are using the larger catechism to help us further understand this very important meal that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to his church. And so today we're going to be considering the first part of question 172 of the larger catechism. But let's pray first, and then we'll look at this question and answer together this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word now, we come with the humble expectation that you will do what you have promised, and that is to grant us your spirit to teach us and to guide us in all things. We know that these matters are very important for your people, and you have given these things to your church to strengthen us and help us. And thus, because they come from your hand, they are important enough for us to learn and understand. And so we pray that you would give us grace and guidance, you would forgive us for our sins, and you would help us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are in question number 172 of the larger catechism as we consider further now matters related to the Lord's Supper. The question asks, May one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation come to the Lord's Supper? Now, the question falls right out of question number 171, in which the question and answer encourages God's people to prepare themselves before coming to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And now, coming to question 172, two issues arise out of this question. First, one that relates to one who doubts of their salvation itself, of being in Christ, being a Christian, or of his lack of preparation in coming to the Lord's Supper. And so these two things will take up at least partly today. Now the answer is, one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may have true interest in Christ, though he be not yet assured thereof. And in God's account hath it, if he be duly affected with the apprehension of the want of it, and unfeignedly desires to be found in Christ, and to depart from iniquity. In which case, because promises are made, and the sacrament is appointed for the relief even of weak and doubting Christians, he is to bewail his unbelief, and labor to have his doubts resolved, and so doing, he may and ought to come to the Lord's Supper, that he may be further strengthened. And so we're going to consider this question of doubting and lack of preparation here as the Catechism gives it to us. And the first half of the answer simply states, one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may have true interest in Christ, though he be not yet assured thereof. Now, this question of assurance of salvation is one that many Christians have wrestled with for large portions of their lives, perhaps. Perhaps you are one today that trust Christ, you have placed your faith in him, but you lack the assurance that God has truly saved you. While you know that to be true, there is something that seems to be off or missing or not quite right about it. And so you lack assurance, although that which you profess is true. In the Confession of Faith in chapter 18 talks about this question of assurance of salvation. I just want to read a small portion of it. Chapter 18, paragraph 1, although hypocrites and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God in the state of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish, yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed. However, many do wrestle with these truths. And so paragraph 3 says, this infallible assurance doth not so belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be partaker of it. Yet, being enabled by the Spirit to know the things which are freely given him of God, he may, without extraordinary revelation and the right use of ordinary means, attain thereunto. And therefore, it is the duty of everyone to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure, that thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience, the proper fruits of this assurance, so far is it from inclining men to looseness. And so you may have times in your life, or perhaps have never reached that point, where you have this infallible assurance working in and through you as a working gift of the Holy Spirit. But then the question, of course, comes, well, should then you approach the Lord's Supper as you lack this assurance? Well, this question seeks to answer that. In Isaiah 50 and in verse 10, we read of a circumstance that speaks to this matter. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And the fact is, my friends, that if you have placed your trust and hope in Christ, whether you feel saved or not, whether you feel the assurance of salvation or not, doesn't change God's eternal promise. That one who walks in darkness that has no light is to trust in the name of the Lord. And when you trust in him, you are given the blessing of God to you. He saves you, and he will not let you go. And so our feelings oftentimes will confuse us. They will lie to us. They will not tell us the truth. And so we don't just simply hope in that, but we hope in the eternal promise of the God who has granted salvation to his people, a God who cannot lie. 1 John 5 and verse 13, I write these things to you, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we know that we have that as we place our hope and trust in Christ, what our feelings tell us notwithstanding. And so whether you wrestle with the question of assurance, I can tell you candidly that I did for many years. And but it doesn't change God's unchanging, his promise. And that leads us right to the next statement in the larger catechism. And in God's account hath it, if he be duly affected with the apprehension of the want of it. That is to say that you have a desire for the assurance of salvation. You want that. You want that in your being, in the very fiber of everything that you know and understand. And again, in Isaiah 54 and verses 7 through 10, there we read, for a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So this all depends on him. And as you desire that, if that is a desire that is working in and through you, to desire these things, then you can be rightly assured of your being in right standing before God. Again, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As you recognize your poverty before a holy God, you are blessed with the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That is to say, you have a different understanding of sin, and when you do sin, it grieves you. These are indications that you have true saving faith given to you by the God who cannot lie and who will eternally save. Then it goes on to say that they have an unfeignedly desires to be found in Christ. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 mentions this. verses 8 and 9. To me, though, well, that's Ephesians. Let's try Philippians this time. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so it is faith in Christ that secures your salvation. It's a desire for Christ that is then worked in you through the working of the Spirit of God. And then it goes on to say, and to depart from iniquity. That is to say, you have a new understanding of sin and you hate it. And you seek to turn away from it. And that hatred is going to ebb and flow throughout your Christian experience, but it's certainly something that is part and parcel of being a redeemed child of God. That Christians hate sin. They want to run away from it. They seek to mortify it in their lives. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So if these things are true of you, though you still wrestle with the question of assurance, should you stay away from the Lord's Supper? Well, the larger catechism tells us at the very end that he should come to the Lord's Supper, that he might find hope and help and strength, even in time of great weakness, as one still wrestles with the question of being assured of their faith in Christ. But let's put our faith in Christ, and let's sink our anchor deeply into the rock that cannot move. And not in our emotions, our feelings, which will lie to us, but place your trust in the unchanging Word of God. As you place your hope in Christ, as you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation, you can know, regardless of what your brain may be telling you, or your emotions may be telling you, you can know that you are in Christ and eternally saved. And so even as you waver, you should go to the cross, you should go to the table, plead forgiveness, plead grace, plead help, and there find strength in your time of need. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. We're going to continue looking at some other matters related to this question in the Tuesday edition, but if these things are helpful for you, or if you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to contact me is there before you on the screen. And so until Tuesday, may the Lord bless you today. May you serve Him. God bless.